Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a two big party, man.
Yeah, brother,
like
solid.
There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, you. You are on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And either we're going to stand up for something or we're going to fall for anything. So we're just coming on. Well, let me start off with this. Happy New Year. How about that? Happy New Year. Yes, it is a Happy New Year. It shouldn't be a sad new year if you made it. I mean, you have a lot to be thankful for this morning. I mean, a lot of people didn't make it into 2023. When I think about COVID-19 and RSV and all these other things that have transpired, it's been quite, 2022 was quite the year. I'm glad to see 2022 closed out, gone, back behind us. Everything that happened in 2022 is all behind us. We are now in 2023, a new year, a new time with new things. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not into all of the New Year's resolutions and everything. You know, you say, oh, okay, this year I'm going to, my New Year's resolution, I'm going to stop smoking. I'm going to stop eating so much food. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to stop whatever it is. And then you do that about 2 or 3 months, and then you're off right back to where you started from. So I'm not much of a New Year's resolution person. I'm more like a in-the-moment kind of person. So in this moment, I'm just thankful to God, first of all, to be in 2023. And I want to send a shout-out to everybody who's listening to the show, everybody who's going to listen to the show. You have so much, and I do mean so much, to be thankful for, because a lot of things are changing as we speak. The laws have changed, and we're going to talk about that. There's been a new bill that's been passed, and we started talking about it last week. We're going to get a little bit deeper because there's some things on that bill that really are applicable to the people of the United States of America, and we want to make sure that we're getting our fair share of this $1.7 trillion bill, okay, that's already been signed into law by the President Joe Biden, and now it's just a matter of time before everything goes into what it's supposed to, what they say it's going to be. So without further ado, I want to send a shout out to Denise Washington on Facebook Live. Happy New Year, Denise. I did receive your Happy New Year, and we're going to have a special guest on our show today. Last week, we talked about rap, R&B rap, and hip-hop from old school rap. Now we're going to come up to date with new school stuff. That's right, new school stuff. And we're going to have, we're going to talk about jazz. We're going to talk about the blues. One of our extremely special guests is going to be Alvin Hayes Jr., who is one of the best saxophone players I've ever met in my life. He is an amazing saxophone player, and I'm going to give you a little bit of his bio in just a little bit. We already have him in the queue, and we have some interviews coming up in the next 2 weeks that you're not going to believe. I don't want to speak on it right now, but this person that's coming on our show is a writer, a producer. He's worked for Clive Davis. He wrote some beautiful stuff for, I'm going to leave it as a surprise, but it will happen, and it's going to happen, and it's going to come to pass. So tell 10 people on Facebook Live to join us. Tag 10 people. Tag 20 people. Just keep tagging folks until I'm going to share that. I want to send a shout out to, hey, what's up, Sheila Timberlake? Yes, good morning and happy 2023. I don't know about you guys, but I was so glad that it rained really, really hard, and it kept a lot of shooters off the streets. A lot of people were not out there shooting this year. We didn't hear a whole lot of gunshots and fireworks and all that stuff because it was raining so hard that people just kind of stayed out the rain, which was good because when bullets go up in the air, they got to come down somewhere, and they can come down in the wrong way. So get your coffee, get your tea, get your smoothie, get your juice, get your water, get whatever you like to drink. Strap in for the ride. What's up, Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry? Happy New Year to you, my brother. Yes, sir. I'm so glad to see you on Facebook Live. God bless you and your wife and your family, and keep up the phenomenal work. Okay, let's look in the queue here. Let's start to get our guests in because we have a lot to talk about. And last week we had a good time. Hey, Vera, aka Granny V, on Facebook Live and on blogtalkradio.com. Cassandra Romero, good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you this morning? Now, I want to, you know, last week, amen, last week we talked about hip-hop and rap, and we even named all the old-school rappers, and we had, like, Kumo D and what's that group that goes, I Got Your Man, Salt and Pepper, and we were naming all the old-school groups, and then the hip-hop. Hip hop, and you don't stop. We did all the, what's his name? This is how we do it, Montel Williams, Jordan. I say Montel Williams because he had a talk show. Montel Jordan, this is how we do it, and we named the Wild Wild West. I can't even name all the rap groups we did last week, but we had so much fun, and everybody was chiming in and on Facebook Live and saying all their who their favorite rapper was. Don't forget Biggie Smalls, and of course, who could forget Tupac and LL Cool J, and just so many people who changed the history of rap music. Now, was rap music a civil rights movement? Of course it was. Jazz was a civil rights movement. Blues was in the civil rights movement. All these songs, you know, there's a song that goes, you know, that I love very much. I was watching last night a special on Sam Cooke. And I don't want to elaborate on the song because, you know, I was born by the river in a little tent. And you guys know the rest. It's been a long time coming, but I know change is going to come, and it's coming right now on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. I want to shout out all my buddies who are on here right now. What's up, Daisy Darden? How are you, Daisy? Hey, praise the Lord. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And here's the question this morning, and you can just type it in on Facebook Live. You made it into 2023. What is it that you're thankful for? What is it that you're thankful for? Are you thankful for your family? Are you thankful for your job? Are you thankful you got a roof over your head and clothes on your back? What are you thankful that you're in good health? What are you thankful for? And we'll talk about that in a minute. Or, you know, you can start tagging it in on Facebook Live right now. But while you're at it, tag 20 people and let them know that you're on the show live, because we're getting ready to go into a live interview in just a few minutes. But before we do, we want to get in some of our guests. And one of our guests, wait a minute, we got a guest in the 980, wait a minute, let's see. Caller in the 980-319 area code. Are you there?
Yes, I am here, sir.
Chief Apostle, Happy New Year. How are you, man?
Oh, my goodness. Happy New Year to all of you. This is such a blessing to be able to get back on. I know my schedule had been kind of busy, but I wanted to make sure I got back on. And I hope you did receive that replacement lapel pin that I sent to you. I want to make sure, because, you know, that is yours to keep and to let people know that you are a part of the alumni of the President's Lifetime Achievement Award. So want to definitely make sure you have that.
Oh, my gosh. I just want to, yes, I'm grateful. I did receive it in the mail. I was looking for two of them, though. I was looking
well,
for
they,
two, and
they,
I opened it up and said, wait a minute.
Well, they,
go ahead,
they were,
Chief Apostle.
They were restocking, and so now they restock for 2023, and so we have some very prestigious candidates that will be going in for this 2023. One that we all know and who has been a great pillar for the movement, civil rights movement, was Mrs. Freda Payne. Who was great icon.
Yes.
She's 80 years old, and my goodness, wow. For, you know, for her, and I told her specifically when I spoke to her, I said, you know, for your time when black women were looking for someone that looked like Tim to be beautiful and talented, yeah. and all of that, she graced Jet Magazine and Ebony Magazine so many times, and the songs that she put on the charts are just phenomenal. Those are the type of people that we talk about that were icons, that were movers to help keep us incited and help us to see that black is beautiful.
Yes, black is beautiful, and I love Freda Payne, and, you know, I just want to thank you, Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry, and I want to thank President Joe Biden of the United States of America for choosing me to receive the Lifetime Achievement Award, the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award. I'll never forget it. I was grateful for my wife to be there with me and be along there with you and your wife. And what a memorable, phenomenal moment it was and still is. It changed my life tremendously. And I, as a matter of fact, I should go get my pen and pin it on right now. I'm thinking about it, but I'm going to wait. And I'm going to pin it on a little bit later. But I'm so grateful for the award. My wife's going to put it into a shadow box, and we're going to put it up on the wall. And, you know, I'm going to wear my pen every now and then, but it's just an honor to receive something from the President of the United States of America, the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award for my civil rights work in the community and my civil rights work over the years. And I just thank God, because a lot of people don't know doing civil rights is not an easy thing to do. It's hard on your family, it's hard on you, and it's hard on the people that you're working, the cases that you work on. And I'm just honored beyond words and grateful. And I think
let me just say this to you. I don't know what your schedule looks like, but coming the 15th through the 18th, they're having a NAACP breakfast down in Conyers, Georgia, and there's going to be quite a lot of elite people there. And one of the recipients, Modessart Ahmad, we're going to present him at that particular time with the President's Lifetime Achievement Award. It is NAACP meeting. I will keep you abreast of it.
Yeah. We'd love to come down to Atlanta. Matter of fact, the last time I was there, I was shooting a movie called Justice on Trial, and that was the last time I was in Atlanta, which was just a year and a half ago. Earlene Green, thank you for coming on Facebook Live. Please tell 10 people, tag 10 people. Hold that thought, Apostle. We got to get a few people in the studio. Don't go anywhere, because I want to talk to you a little bit more if you have time. Let's see. Welcome to the show, Tawana Jones, my daughter. Good morning, Tawana Jones, who brings us words of wisdom. How are you this morning? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Dad. Good morning to all the listeners, to everyone on Facebook. Happy 2023, everybody. I am, just like you, Dad, feeling just gracious and extremely grateful for being able to say that we have made it past 2022, and to just bless everything that is to be moving forward for 2023. So happy New Year, everybody, and good morning.
Good morning, good morning. And without further ado, let's get in Professor Reams. Good morning, Professor Reams. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Pastor Jones. Good morning, Keith, Apostle Kenneth Curry. Good morning, Talana. And good morning to all the listeners on. Oh, yes, thank you, sir. And then good morning to our listeners on Facebook, and welcome to the best Blog Talk radio program on Monday. So let's get ready, get scrapped, so that we can get into what starts our week off with showing how we as Christians honor the Lord, especially in this wonderful, happy 2023. We made it, so we should be definitely thankful that we are here to be here to continue the Lord's work. And so with that in mind, I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
All right. Thank you so much. Brandon Woods. Good morning, Brandon Woods. How are you? Welcome to the show. It's such an honor to see you on. Please tell 10 people that we're on right now. Without further ado, let's get Vera Jones, a.k.a. Granny V. Good morning, Granny V, Vera Jones, a.k.a. Granny V. Welcome to the show with Health and Wellness.
Good morning, Eddie. Good morning, all the co-hosts and every single listener out there. Happy New Year. And I am enjoying some fresh air, so I am grateful to be alive and to be at the beginning of a brand new episode of life.
Amen, amen. And I am so happy. Again, I want to shout out Rochelle Moore, Earlene Green. I want to shout you out. Sheila Timberlake. We lost 3-6 Maria's. Member of Gangsta Boo. Oh, the rapper. Oh, it's in our heart. She's only 43 years old. Oh, my gosh. Denise Williams, Daisy Darden, Vera, Sharon Lawrence, Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry, Cassandra Romero, and all the people that's on Facebook Live, thank you so much. And please tell 10 people. Now, let's get in without further ado. Let's get in Clarence M. Allen, our co-producer, Clarence M. Allen. Good morning, Brother Clarence M. Allen. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Pastor Eddie. Good morning to all the co-panelists. Good morning to all of our listeners throughout this state, city, and the nation. You know, Pastor Eddie, man, we have arrived into a new year, a new day, a new month, a new hour, and even a new minute and even a new second as this program is produced by one of the world's greatest radio producers, Pastor Eddie Jesse Jones. Every Monday morning, man, you are enlightening us about our civil rights, our constitutional rights, our human rights, just our right to live and to live freely and peacefully, man. And every day and every hour and every minute of the day, week, month, and in this year of 2023, let's all walk with the glory of God in his presence, with his forgiveness, with his mercy, with his grace, with his love, man. Just forgiving one another, man. Lifting one another up, man. Because we need this right here. The love. Thank you for having me, Pastor Eddie, once again. Oh, and all one right, more thing, right. Pastor Eddie. You and Chief Apostle mentioned two icons. Last night, CNN had a two-hour documentary special on Dionne Warwick, man. It was so beautiful last night, man. Yeah. The legacy, man. She is another music icon, you know. And the title of it was "Don't Make Me Over," man. It was outstanding.
Mhm. I remember that song.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you something. Dionne Warwick made the most famous singer, and one of the most famous singers in the world. She's the one that brought out Whitney Houston. That was her family member. So that you're right. You're so right. Now, without further ado, we have a special guest coming in the studio right now. His name is Alvin Hayes Jr. Not only have we been church members together, friends together, but he is one of the most prolific, profound saxophone players in the world today. Let me just give you a little bit about his bio because he's gonna play a sax on our show today. So I can't wait to hear this saxophone play. To me, that's one of the best instruments besides the piano. I love the piano, but the piano can tune any instrument, if you didn't know that. But the saxophone, the clarinet, oh, my gosh, great instruments. One of the best-kept secrets in jazz today is Alvin Hayes Jr., an exciting, multifaceted musician, composer, teacher, musical director, entrepreneur. Alvin is a California native, hailing from Long Beach, California, and plays all saxophones, flutes, clarinets, and other members of the woodwind family. He has also had roles in TV movies. He began his musical career at age 5, and we talk about civil rights. Music is a part of civil rights. And now we're talking about jazz, because jazz is a part of the civil rights movement. Whether you want to believe it or not, do your research. Jazz helped us through the civil rights movement. So did R&B. So did rap, and so did the blues. And this is our second week of discussing it. And a shout out to Cousin B, all the way out there from Florida. We see you. We can't wait to talk about the sports report. Okay, during high school, Alvin competed and won an opportunity to play in the County of Los Angeles Battle of the Bands production band, where he played with the likes of Henry Mancini, Patrice Rushen, Azar Lawrence, Jeff Porcaro, and Gerald Albright. Later, while attending the University of Michigan, majoring in engineering, Alvin had an opportunity to play with many musical giants, such as Grover Washington Jr., Cannonball Adderley, Junior Cook, Joe Farrell, Benny Maupin, and others. Summers went spent studying improvisation with Buddy Collette. He returned to California to work as an engineer, a huge Boeing Lockheed. While working as an engineer, Alvin joined the band Jetstream, led by his friend George Shaw, and also recorded solo projects for 7 years. Alvin spent time in the top 10 of Billboard Contemporary Jazz charts, which resulted in a Grammy nomination. Alvin has been honored by the NAACP, by the City of Long Beach, and one of the city's jazz pioneers. In 2015, Alvin created his own production company, Baby Snooks Records, which has allowed him to collaborate with Arthur Brown, a member of Rolls-Royce, bassist Bill Pittman, and a numerous others musicians. Alvin produced in 2016 the album Festiva, in 2019 LBC, and The Christmas Gift, and recently released 2022 album Lost Without You. Without further ado, let's get our special guest on the show, Alvin Hayes Jr. Good morning, Alvin Hayes Jr. Welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Fine. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank
amen.
You
it's an honor and a pleasure to have you on. You know, it's just, I just finished reading your bio, and I'm so very impressed with the history of how hard you have worked to bring your music to what it is today. I've seen you play the saxophone many times. Matter of fact, yeah, wait a minute, Professor Reams, are you there, Professor Reams?
Yes, Pastor Jones.
Oh, come on now. You know you and Alvin are family. Come on, let's talk it up. Go right ahead. shout out your family.
Hello, Alvin. We are so proud of you, especially with the new album. But, you know, I usually sit back and allow him to do the talking. But, no, and it's been just a wonderful journey for both of us because he has been instrumental in training both my son and my daughter in music and has been prolific within the Long Beach community, as well as allowing everyone to share in a lot of his gigs. And the one thing about it that I remind all the kids and myself is that, you know, it doesn't matter what you're doing, Uncle Man, which is our loving nickname for him, will just say play, and then we will start it, because that's what we were doing at Grant AME, where Kenny Ford, myself,
yes,
his son, Alvin the Third, would just,
yes,
get together, and we would just make music. And in speaking with Alvin the Third, there was just a rhythm and a love and connection that we had where we knew how to help the song and help the choir to project all the great things and help them in their journey when they're doing their prayers or when they needed inspiration at the church.
Yeah.
So as I always say, it's always an honor to just help and be with the uncle. So I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Amen, amen. I want to shout out a few people on Facebook Live. Thank you, Missionary Sophie, for shouting out to keep up the good work. Eddie Gibbs, what's up, buddy? How you been? My sister, Taisha, how are you? Good to see you on there. Gloria Majors, good morning. All the people, Eleanor Allen, good morning. Hang in there with us. We have a great interview right now with one of the most astonishing saxophone players in the history of playing the sax, and that's Alvin Hayes Jr. with his new CD called Lost Without You. Alvin, take the floor. Tell us about your new CD, and go right ahead. It's all yours.
Well, thank you, man. Just want to play just a little taste of what we play.
Okay, take your time.
Thank you. Wow. Let's give a big hand around the table. Let's give a big hand.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, man. Radio talk show.
Wow. Alvin, that was astonishing. That was amazing. And I'm going to trouble the water. Go right ahead. Alvin, take the floor. Tell us about your new CD, Lost Without You. And that was amazing what you just played. Thank you so much for sharing it on the show. But go right ahead. Take the floor.
Oh, Lost Without You, and we've got a lot in. We got Lost Without You, Cool Water, The Blood Will Never Lost. The Clean Up, Stand, Jesus, Jesus, Why I Sing. We've got plenty of things. And we just love it.
And so with that being said, how long did it take for you in the studio putting in all that work to get this new CD out, Lost Without You? How long did it take for this project to take place?
Probably about a year. You know, it's been great. It's really really fine. Fine.
Now, Alvin, I want to ask you, could you tell the people why jazz is a part of the civil rights movement? Why is jazz, and how did jazz help out during the civil rights movement?
Well, I think anytime you can play is jazz was played in any time, and we just love it, you know, and played and in the music, and that's just all you play, and that's basically it.
Amen, amen. And, jazz is like during the riots and everything, people would turn on jazz because it was relaxing. It could take your mind away from what was going on. It can make you feel easier about stuff. You know, music was one of the most common languages that has ever been played. Anywhere you play music in the world, people do understand. And the saxophone is such a prolific, profound instrument that can reach different sounds and do different things that other instruments just can't do. So the saxophone, which was part of the jazz movement, had a lot to do with where music is today as far as jazz. And everybody from all ethnicities and race, creed, and color, they love jazz. Last week we talked about hip-hop music, and we talked about hip-hop, rap, and how it played a part in history. This week we're talking about jazz and how it plays a big part in history and how it helped a lot of people make it through the civil rights era, which is actually the civil rights movement is still going on to this very day. But it's such an honor and a pleasure to have you on, Alvin Hayes Jr., because you play with some of the greatest people in the world. I mean, wow. When I think about, Cannonball and Cook and Joe Farrell, and oh my gosh, you played with so many different good people. What started you playing the saxophone, and what motivated you and encouraged you to not give up on what you wanted to do in the music industry?
Well, I started playing in fifth grade. So we've you know, it started me at fifth grade, and you know, we've been playing for a long, long time. That's it.
Well, you know, I got to say this. Your song that you just played on your sax, I mean, just a cappella without no music in the background or nothing, it was really nice. And I know I didn't want to do it, but I think I heard you. Name a couple of more songs on your CD one more time, the one that just came out, Lost Without You.
Lost Without You.
Yes.
Cooling Waters.
Yes.
Stand. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Walk Around Heaven.
Wow, it's a nice. Praise. Sounds like a. Yeah. And what was the other songs?
That's it.
And so, you know, so when you know the song, Stan, what do? When you're done
yeah.
all you can. That's Stan?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you play a little bit of something of that song, Alvin? Is that okay? Can you just play a little bit on your sax?
Oh, brother. No, Saint Pray, brother.
Well, is there something else that you can play? Because some people they want to hear something else from you on the sax. Can you just play a little something else and something small? But there are people saying, "Hey, can he play one more thing on the sax?" Thank you so much, Alvin. Let's give Alvin another big hand, and then we're going to open up for some questions and real quick, because in the essence of the time, thank you so much. It's an honor. Our guest on today is a jazz and blues player. He plays the saxophone. His name is Alvin Hayes, Jr. He's been a musician for a long time. His new CD is called Lost Without You, and I'm going to go to Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry. Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry, do you have a question or a statement for Mr. Alvin Hayes, Jr.?
No, I just like to say that, you know, myself as a musician as well, I enjoy hearing great music. Matter of fact, the other night for the New Year's, as you've probably seen, we were listening to Marcus Anderson on saxophone, who did a great job and you know, just help us bring in a new year with just good music, and I enjoy hearing great music, whether I play lead guitar, bass guitar, drums, and do vocals, so I enjoy wonderful music.
Thank you so much. Alvin, would you like to go ahead and say something to Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry calling in from, I believe it's North Carolina. Is it North Carolina,
yes,
Chief
sir.
Apostle?
Yes, sir.
All right, go right ahead, Alvin.
Man, it's fantastic, and keep doing it.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. So without further ado, I'm going to go right over to Clarence and Mallon. Clarence and Mallon, first I'm going to shout out Priscilla Knott on Facebook Live. Thank you for joining us, Priscilla. Please tell 10 other people, tag 10 other people. Clarence and Mallon, take the floor. Do you have a question or a statement for Alvin Hayes, Jr.? He's been on our show before.
Yes, first of all, thank you, Alvin Hayes, for producing another new wonderful CD. I know it's going to be wonderful because every year me and my wife is a 19-hour drive up to Montana. The two CDs that we have of you, man, we use as our road music to get us through the highway safely, man. I mean, with, man, you are a phenomenal musician, you and your band. You performed at the Eddie Justice Jones Awards, man. You and your band with Professor Rings and the rest of you. Man, so I just commend you, man. I'm going to be looking forward to getting this new CD because whether you're on the highway, whether you're in your backyard, on your patio, or you just laying, grazing in the grass in the park somewhere, man, your jazz music, the soul, the mind, man, and our spirit, man, it, you don't, you know, one of the topics that we're having today on this, and we're going into the second segment of this with the direction of this rap music. Nowadays, you have to go out and kill somebody just to get involved with it. But with your music, man, everybody gets along, man. Everybody shares brotherly and sisterly love. So, man, I just want to commend you. Congratulate you, man. I wish you all the best of success.
Thank you. Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And without further ado, I want to go to one of the most prolific bass players, none other than Professor Reams. Professor Reams, take the floor. You, Professor Reams, and Alvin Hayes Jr. Played at the Eddie Jones, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show Award Show, and you guys turned it out along with your son. Go right ahead, Professor Reams. Take the floor. Do you have a question or a statement? And plus share some history.
And just a statement. It has been an honor. What you don't realize is the hard work that Alvin did because he was playing at the Battle of the Bands with Dorsey High School, where my brother and he connected with each other. So he's been a part of my family for years. So the whole Hayes family has been a part of the family for years. And then when we connected and we just started talking, it was as though I had another brother, a lost soul. And, you know, we always hug and we have a special handshake that we do that we've always stayed close with each other. So it's just been an honor knowing you, working with you, playing with you. And I don't play with everyone. I do very little. But when my brother-in-law asks me to come up and do something or whatever it is, or we get into a band or there's something, I don't hesitate because I know it's going to be simply fantastic. And so this album is just another phase where what he has done is always pick up on the old spirituals and on what his parents had instilled in him through church to give back so that a new generation can listen to the songs and appreciate them. And this has been modeled to my son and to our family members as how to do it right within the music industry. And he knows through LBC a number of the local rap artists and what they're struggling through, and he's been a mentor to them. I mean, we all had our connections with Snoop. We had our connections with Suge Knight. And he's always been there to advise, you know, and do it out of the gracefulness of his heart. Whether they listen or not, that's a whole different thing. But at least when the city of Long Beach places him as one of our Long Beach musical legends and then honors him at a Mosaic, at a high school, you know that he is a foundation of wealth and wisdom that all the musicians look to. And so with that, I will say, love you much, Uncle Man, and we'll just keep on keeping on. With that, I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
Wow, you know, you're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. And if you haven't called the show already,
dial 646-787-8064. 646-787-8064. Press 1. It'll put you in the queue. If you want to ask a question, that's fine. If you want to make a statement, that's fine. If you want to talk about how jazz has affected you. But what I want to ask you is, what year, Alvin, did you go to Dorsey High School? What year were you there? One of Robinson Timberlake, Sheila, wants to know, because, you know, I graduated from Dorsey. He graduated from Dorsey. I see some other people from Dorsey on here, too. So what year did you graduate from there?
Well, actually, I played, you know, I graduated from Poly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what year were you at Dorsey?
I played at Poly.
Yes, Pastor Jones. He played at Poly, but he was able to play with the Battle of the Bands, where Dorsey High School was also competing with my brother. Yes.
Yeah, because Dorsey, we had a really good band. I'm not trying to brag, but we had a wonderful band. Now at that time,
yes, 1971. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, but you know, I graduated in 77. I'm telling my age, but that's when I used to pop lock.
Yes.
Oh God, we used to do all that popping and all that good stuff at the football games and everything. We had a good time, and the band would play. Excuse me. I got caught up on the pop lock, and it took me way back. But the band would play, and we would have such a good time. And sometimes the band would come in a circle at lunchtime and just play. So that was a good foundation for everybody who loves music, because music was the answer to a lot of the situations that were taking place at a time when the civil rights movement was going on, the riots were going on. I'm not talking about the Rodney King riots. I'm talking about the riots that took place in the 60s. And then later on, of course, the Rodney King riots came. Yes, go right ahead.
Oh, yes, Pastor Jones, you raised an interesting point, because, see, when the L.A. County had their Battle of the Bands, it was at the Hollywood Bowl. That was the premier place for all of the bands and all of the races to get together, not the races, but the races to get together, because it showed all the different bands highlighting their best. And then for Alvin to play in that arena, along with, because it was judged by Henry Mancini, and you had Patrice Rushen, who was being mentored by Herbie Hancock. So in the jazz world, when you have Herbie Hancock, you have Mancini, you have the Picaros, where the senior Picaro was the percussionist for the big bands. You knew that the legacy of jazz was going to be well preserved, because it was the Battle of the Bands that highlighted the best. And that is how Alvin from Poly High was able to compete and play with these folks, and then that resulted in them creating connections with each other within the jazz community. So I yield back to you, Pastor Jones. Mm-hmm.
No, it's just amazing when you think about it. It's amazing the history of music, the history of jazz, the history of the blues. And as I told people last week on the show, a lot of people don't know that back in the day, and Alvin, you might be able to attest to this. Alvin, can you define what scatting is? You know, like skitter beep bop do da 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 beep bop da 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 da. Could you tell people what scatting is?
Yeah. I don't know. I played saxophone.
You're being modest, because with scatting, it is using your voice as an instrument and using it to conduct a solo like a saxophone. But it came up because Ella Fitzgerald and Mel Torme and some of the others would do this, and it'd be spoodadida ba 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 da 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 ba ba, and then you're just using your voice to mimic that, and it's also a cheap way of not having to have a new musician there. But he's being modest, because he's had scatters with him as well. that's a right.
And a lot of people don't know the scatting eventually turned into rapping, because instead of skitty bebop doo da 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 day,
It turned into hip hop, and you don't stop. That's still how scatting just evolved into rapping. And so it's all historical, and it's all part of the civil rights movement, because as I stated to you last week, there was a time when you could not rap. Rap was not loved by the European mm-hmm. world, and the music industry was very upset about rapping, because a lot of the rappers were stealing the show. And
right.
the next thing you know, yeah, they were stealing the show, and they were coming out making good records. Nobody was calling each other names in the raps. They might have talked about each other, like a battle rapping. But rapping came from scatting, and scatting turned into hip-hop rap, and hip-hop rap turned into rap. And then rap just evolved into its own industry. And I just want to really quick go over how rap has paid off tremendously for people like Master P. Master P took music and rap and turned it into he's now a music mogul. Mm-hmm. Sean P. Diddy, Ice Cube, N.W.A., and I can name so many other rap groups. We can't forget Eazy-E, because Eazy-E, even though he turned it into gangster rap, I mean, we're showing how rap evolved, how jazz evolved, how the blues evolved. And sometimes mm-hmm. we would hear the blues like, my baby left me, she ain't never coming back. Oh, yeah. The blues. My baby left me, and she ain't never coming back. So we went with the blues, and then we had the jazz. That was the jazz, and how it all came together. And now when you hear rap music now, you hear jazz in the rap, you hear blues in the rap, and it's all mixed together. The scatting, the rapping, the jazz, the blues, it's all in the rap music today. And if you listen to the music mm-hmm. of the rap mm-hmm. song before it comes on, you hear the drums. The drums came from slavery. The drums
right.
were a way to communicate with other slaves at other plantations when they were getting ready to run or take the Underground Railroad or do something. So the guitar. Back in Louisiana, when they started playing the blues, that music was a way for people to get together and forget about all their worries and their stress and whatever was going on during the slave movement, the civil rights movement, and the movement of America. Music has always played a significant role. I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
Yes. So, Pastor Jones, it's even more so because Clarence Allen is always pushing us to go with our own African scholars. And overall, we could actually take this all the way back to 6,000 BC with instruments and
mm-hmm.
drums, especially
mm-hmm.
with the finger piano that was called the kalimba, and then how drums were important for communication, but also for ritual, but also for communication, which rap is the great, 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 great grand, the ancestry from Africa, because this is still showing how Mother Africa has had a major influence on the beat, on the drums, and also the biggest thing, the spoken word, because the spoken word, whether it's being done by a pastor like yourself or by a lecturer
mm-hmm.
like many of us, is still very powerful. But to find a way to where people who have only 8 minutes of attention span, I know Chief Apostle Curry will probably
mm-hmm.
make sure it might be shorter, but you have to find a vehicle that allows people to keep this rhythm going in our mind, because the music of God is available. It's just that people have to figure out a way how to listen to it and how to engulf it and get into their heart. So with the rap music and the rhythm and the scatting, it makes it very catchy, it makes it very pleasurable, and it keeps people on the mind, so that when it comes to the civil rights movement, when you get to bringing people together, music is involved, spoken word is involved, and then that leads to action. That's why the drum was outlawed for many years during slavery, because it was used
mm-hmm.
as a battle cry to bring
mm-hmm.
people together to get
mm-hmm.
something done. And that's why, as Clarence Allen mentioned, the situation where they had compromised how rap used to be, because it was dealing with social activism. You had, NWA saying things about how life was really affecting people. Mm-hmm. If you have that level of information going, it starts people becoming woke and seeing that the grift that the majority has been given has been wrong and that we need to do something about it. But many times when we have a situation like that, like with Michael Jackson, who when they found that he was becoming extremely powerful, they will squelch it because it will destroy the status quo and their power dynamic. So this, so every aspect that we could use, whether it's prayer, whether it's through spirituals, whether it's through the what we call call and response, because the call and response is essential, because when you call it out, people respond, then it shows that you get it. You are involved, and you are ready to take action. And with that, Pastor Jones, I yield back to you.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much, Professor Ames. I'm gonna before we go to Alvin Hayes to learn how we could get his CD and support him in his music, I can't wait to get my CD. I'm going to get it ASAP, and I'm probably going to get it from Alvin Hayes himself or Professor Reams. But before I do that, I want to go back to Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry. How has music such as jazz affected the civil rights movement? I wanted to hear from you, Chief Apostle. Please share with us.
Well, I'm glad we're beginning to understand that music is a unspoken communication. It's almost like a top secret music or communication of our generation. Because even now, I mean, up into this date, you had people like Al Jarreau and all of them, a lot of people cannot catch the words of the songs and stuff like that, but if you can just catch the vibe of the music and people would start dancing from the vibe of the music, and knowing that there was some people of other cultures that didn't understand what we were, dancing and rejoicing about, but we knew the message that was inside the music that people were talking about. And see, as it evolved into, like you said, people like Tupac and all of them. And then once they realized that we were getting messages and information from it, that's when they start trying to shut it down, and government tried to shut it down. I remember back when was the vice president, he was trying to shut down either NWA or one of them because of what he was seeing in the lyrics. But that was some of our unspoken communication that connected with the people. So we understood the message, but they couldn't understand it.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry. Go right ahead, Chief. What were you going to say, Apostle Kenneth Curry?
It's the same thing through the church. The music that is going on in the church has a message, because you got so many negative messages out here for the young people. They need to hear something that sounds like the music that's out here, but it's a spiritual message in there to connect to their soul to get those young people saved. People think that we are bringing what they call devil's music into. No, the music is evolving. Because evolving, and we need to meet them where they are. And the way that we have done that through years and years and time of time is through music. Music soothes the heart. Then the pastor can bring in the word. That's what it's called, sacred music, to mellow the heart so that you can talk to the people.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Chief Apostle Kenneth Curry, for sharing those words with us. I want to go back to Alvin Hayes Jr. He's our special guest on the show today on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, the Eddie Justice Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights,
your rights, my rights, and our rights, because we all have rights. Either we're going to stand for something or we're going to fall for anything. And at this point in the game, we ain't falling for nothing. I said we ain't falling for nothing. I didn't want to use proper grammar on that one right there. I just want to be just the way I want to say it. We ain't falling for nothing, okay? Alvin, tell everybody how to get your CD. Tell them if it's on Spotify. You know, how do they get your CD?
Well, you know, you Spotify, CD Baby, Apple Music, VIP in Long Beach, the Footprint, and that's basically it.
Now, if people want to retain you to play at a wedding or a party or an award show, can you please give out your email and your phone number in any way that people can contact you so they, if they want to purchase a CD from you or whatever, can you give out your info, please?
Music, what is it? It's my, basically can be contacted by I'm trying to think. you can
Professor Reams, are you there?
Yes, uh-huh.
Professor Reams, can you give out Alvin's email address and a good way for people to contact him if they want to retain his services for weddings, parties, or award shows, or even studio work?
Well, let's see here. Pastor Jones, would we be able to send that to you, and then you can send it to the listeners later on offline?
Yes, I sure can, yes. Definitely.
Okay, yeah. That would probably be the best thing because, see, the album has come out. We're trying to figure out kind of the best way because, of course, personal emails and all those other things can get kind of messy. Yeah. So we're coming up with a better way to communicate with many of the listeners. Yes.
Okay. So, Alvin, give us your closing remarks. We have such enjoyed your interview. I want to go to Vera Jones. Vera, did you have a question or a statement for Alvin Hayes Jr.?
Well, I just want to say outstanding work that you have done. And at this time, you're working on what my question was as far as how to purchase. And I am aware that it can be purchased on Spotify, CD Baby, Apple Music, and VIP Long Beach, and Footprint. So thank you for such a special guest, and for Professor Reams and Chief Apostle, man, you three are outstanding.
God bless you.
Thank you. Bless you, Dr. Granny B, as well. Back at you.
Amen.
Well, with that being said, Alvin, do you have some closing remarks? We are getting ready to go into another topic, and our second topic is, before we go into our second topic, let me just tell you, last week we talked about the $1.7 trillion bill that was passed by President Joe Biden. We want to know, does that bill help the American people? And if it does, how? We talked about it last week. We want to elaborate with parentheses on part two of the $1.7 trillion bill that is it's already on its way into action as we speak. Let's find out how it can help the people of the United States of America and how can it help the African-American community overall. With that being said, go right ahead, Alvin. Give us your closing remarks.
Well,
My mother used to say, "Lord, don't move the mountain. Just give me the strength to climb." And that's it.
Wow. I want to thank you so much. So without further ado, everybody, let's give a big hand for Mr. Alvin Hayes, Jr. Let's give him a big hand. Big hand.
Woo. Uncle man. Woo.
Wow. That was such an amazing interview. Thank you, Alvin. And I will be in touch after the show. I'll reach out to Professor Reams. We'll get your CD. I'm going to upload some of your music onto our show so that we can play it during our show, at the beginning of our show. And so it's an honor and a pleasure beyond words to have you on, Alvin. I hope you can just put the phone on, put you on hold, and you can just hang on and listen to, if you have time, to listen to the rest of our show. But thank you so much, Alvin. Is there anything else you want to say?
No. Just keep the faith.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. Yes, I agree with you. So without further ado, Alvin Hayes, Jr., with his new CD, I'm Lost Without You. You can get it on Spotify, Apple Music, and all the other avenues of social media. And get that CD, Lost Without You. I think you're going to love it. It's amazing. You just heard him play a sax on our show today. That was amazing. So without further ado, we're going to talk about a $1.7 trillion bill that's been signed by Joe Biden, that's already going into action. It already went through the House of Representatives. It went on the floor and everywhere else. Now it's about to affect us. The rental assistant was actually, appealing to me. So without further ado, in just a few minutes, we're going to go to Professor Reams, and we're going to hear from him. Now I want to read something off this bill that I feel is extremely important to each and every one of us. And if you never followed the bill before, this is a good time to learn in 2023, because these are the bills that affect our lives, affect us in taxes, affect us in food, affect us in shelter, affect us in gas, travel, and every other facet of our lives. So analyze and evaluate carefully what you are hearing, well, about to hear right now. So I just want to read this to you really quick. Food and nutrition programs. The bill contains discretionary funding as well as mandatory funding required by law for food and nutrition programs within the Department of Agriculture. This includes funding for the Special Supplement Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children, which is called WIC. The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, which is food stamps. Women, infants, and children, WIC, the bill provides $6 billion. Okay, $6 billion in discretionary funding for WIC and for SNAP. The SNAP, which is food stamps, the bill provides $153.8 billion towards food stamps. That just goes to show you how many people are on food stamps. A lot of people, even the ones that were rich and all that, because they're knocking the middle class out. It's either going to be rich or poor. This bill will affect everyone. No one that's a human being on earth will be excluded if you're in the United States of America. Child nutrition programs. The bill provides $28.5 billion and funding for child nutrition programs. This is an increase of $1.66 billion above the fiscal year 2022. So these are something we need to be paying attention to within that $7 trillion bill. International Food Assistance Program. The bill includes $2.2 billion for international food and aid to promote U.S. agriculture exports and overseas. So we're supporting other countries. And I didn't even get to the part of the bill where we're supporting Ukraine. Now, here's my problem. We have a homeless problem in America. We have a gigantic, enormous problem of homelessness in America. So I'm looking for something on the bill that says something about taking care of the homeless problem in America. Okay? So far, I haven't seen anything on the bill and quote me if I'm wrong, on the homeless problem in America. Just yesterday, me and the wife went down to Los Angeles, and we went to see the Temptations show. It was amazing. It's called Ain't Too Proud. You have to go see Ain't Too Proud. It is the life story of the Temptations, not jumping off the subject. Here's my point. On the way there, when we reach, before we can get to the Dorothy Chandler Center and the Music Center and all that stuff to get to the play, we had to go through downtown Los Angeles. And our hearts dropped to see so many homeless people on the streets staying in tents, and it was pouring down rain. It's been pouring down rain. And so there was one guy that was walking like he had on the same wet clothes, and he's walking really slow. And, you know, we stopped in the gas station to get some things that we needed. And I don't know why, but, you know, those really long, big Snickers, I just bought a big one. It was like $3 for it. And which money's not the object. What it was is when I got ready to give it to him, he couldn't speak. He couldn't talk. And he was homeless. And he was cold. And he was shaking and wet from head to toe. So I gave him the candy bar. All he could do was smile at me. He smiled at me. And I got to tell you, I got emotional. What is the United States of America gonna do for the homeless problem in America? No one should be freezing in their cars. My heart goes out to the 21-year-old young lady coming from her CNA job that was calling everybody, asking could she get help, and they found her the next morning froze to death in her car. Homeless people found frozen to death on the streets. What are we of the United States of America? I don't see anything on this $1.7 trillion bill that says anything about helping the homeless crisis in America. Okay, I just got, okay. So apparently there's a $3.6 billion for homeless, but I'm gonna tell you right now, $3.6 billion is not enough to help the homeless problem. It's a beginning, but it's not the cure, because homelessness is out of control. So I just want to, you know, start with that. Without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to our professor who has analyzed and evaluated the bill carefully, and let's see what he has to say. Without further ado, Professor Reams, please take the floor. What does it say about the homeless problem on the bill? Is there a bill in there, inside the bill, that addresses the homeless problem in America? Go right ahead.
Thank you, Pastor Jones. And the answer is yes, because it's the homeless investment in homeless prevention and affordable housing. The legislation is $3.6 billion for homeless assistance grant, which is an increase of 13%, and it will serve more than a million people experiencing homelessness. Now, the biggest problem with many of these bills, when they get passed and they become law, is the distribution of the money. Because, yes, what bills do is that they make monies available. The monies are then distributed to the states, and it's the states and the cities that then need to identify what their needs are and then work with the state representative of the federals to come up with a plan. As you're seeing,
Professor Reams, I'm sorry.
Yes.
How much do they put there for the homeless problem in America?
It's $3.6 billion for the homeless assistance grants, and that's an increase of 13%. Now, we have to understand that since homelessness, the definition, when you have these bills going back and forth within Congress, the fact that there had been neglect in the past, which dealt with, they were addressing it in one way or a little way, is remarkable since there's been a lot of fighting resistance.
Professor Reams, excuse me for interrupting you, but say it one more time how much they're giving towards the homeless. How much is that, the bill for the homeless? How much is that?
It's a $3.6 billion. And so, but
okay, hold that thought. Hold that thought.
Increase.
Hold that thought. 3 point something billion. Now, for Federal Bureau of Prisons, For Federal Bureau of Prisons, they're giving $8.7 billion. And this bothers me. They're giving more to the prison system because that's a money-making tool than they are to the homeless situation in America. Okay, but go right ahead, Professor Reams. I just wanted to bring that up. Federal Bureau of Prisons is getting $8.7 billion, an increase of $562.6 million for putting people in prison. But what they're giving only a few billion for the homeless problem. I think they should switch that around. I think the homeless problem should get the $8.7 billion, and the federal prisons should get the $3.0 billion. This is just my little personal vision. Go right ahead, Professor Reams. Forgive me for interrupting. Go right ahead.
Oh, yes, the more money, I agree, the more money that you have. And the biggest problem with the gridlock is trying to get it through the process with both the state and with the Senate and with the House Democrats, where they've been proposing more and the other side has been proposing less, and then you have to come to the compromise. And this is, it's, when we talk about a miracle happening, it's a miracle that this bill actually was approved because there was so much opposition to it until 12 Republicans decided to support it because they had projects that needed to be funded in their states. Otherwise, had this been under a previous administration of number 45, nothing would have been done. So we're at a point where whatever, and I love him and call him Uncle Joe, is able to pull out, understand that he is faced with a lot of resist not want progress moving forward, especially with the people of color. So, yes. Now, what happens is with the Fed is that this is helpful to the states, but then the states also have their own budgets that they can allocate towards the homeless problem. So hopefully this amount that they ask for, along with the states, will then help each state address it. Because even though homeless, the problem is a major problem, in some states it's very minor. So with the larger states like California, New York, or whether it is somewhere, because you had a guest on from Montana, where they were already handling it, it was just a few hundred. Even though it shouldn't be there, they were able to handle it. Not every state is equal in the amount of money that they're going to ask for. Which is very important. Yeah.
Professor Reams, I want to ask you a question. I'm looking at a part of the bill right now that has to do with ICE, and I don't know if you all been looking at the news or not, but there's 170,000 illegal immigrants waiting at the border in Texas, San Diego, Arizona, everywhere. The border in the United States, they're all there waiting to come into the United States of America, and they say that 70,000 are coming in per day illegally and doing all kinds, breaking into people's homes. They have weapons. They're taking, you know, people are complaining in certain parts of Texas that they're coming on their property and their lands. They're just doing a lot of stuff that they should not be doing. But I see here that on the bill it says that the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement provides $8.42 billion for ICE, and that they're using this budget to stop the illegal immigrants from coming into America. I don't get it, because if they're putting $8.42 billion into it, then why are the illegal immigrants still getting into the United States? And what is the money going to do to stop my – can you just talk a little bit about how that money is supposed to work and why the illegal immigrants are still getting into America, and the crime has gone up tremendously, and how do you feel about that? Go right ahead.
Well, the situation with the border has always been tenuous because the Biden administration has not changed its restrictions on how immigrations come in unless there's an issue where they are fleeing, you know, they're seeking amnesty from their other country. That is in the Constitution that we normally do, is that if they're seeking amnesty, then we can definitely bring them in because they are fleeing from an oppressive situation. The problem with the border is that the border has been very tenuous, because here's the other factor, that many of the businesses that are here are actually hiring a lot of the folks because they want cheap labor. So you have a situation where you have businesses that are hiring the folks but are not being held accountable because they want the labor overall. The other thing is that the border is one of the main is a main area to get through because of the fact that you have so many deaths between the Rio Grande and between Mexico. The other aspect is that they're also not coming through the border. They're also coming by the sea lanes. That's why the Coast Guard is always monitoring ships that are coming in. You also don't hear that a lot of immigrants are coming through by the way of Canada. They're focused on the border because it's, well, unfortunately, a photo op for the brown people. But they don't talk about the other immigrants that are coming from the northern border or across the sea lanes because, again, those are other ways that they're getting in into the process. So everyone keeps thinking there's this jumbo thing of all these folks here. Many of those are also seeking amnesty. But you also have a number of folks who have decided to live in Mexico or to live in some of the other countries like Brazil because we've asked them to take them as asylum seekers. So I have to be questionable of the news because we have a section of the news that conflates how many folks are coming in, how many coming out, but then they don't report their buddies who are hiring them to work in their industries overall. So that's
now, Professor
my
Reeves,
problem is the report
Reeves,
going. Uh-huh.
And Professor Reeves, I apologize because you're giving us some pertinent, really excellent information. You guys are on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights. Now, here's the question. With this enormous, out-of-control homeless situation, how can we help an overflow of 170,000 illegal immigrants just flowing into our across the borders across the United States, whether it's Arizona, Texas, Mexico, San Diego, wherever they're coming in? They're just coming in droves. And doesn't that increase the homeless problem that we already have a major homeless problem? And how do we deal with that? If you don't mind elaborating on that,
yeah.
Is that going to crush and cause a larger recession than we already have? Go right ahead.
The answer is it's possible, but more likely no, because most of them who are coming across are being arrested and then deported back on a regular basis. That's where the bulk of the money is going to, because when ICE arrests them, it's not only on the border, but also anywhere that they get through with the border. That's why they're stopped. So ICE is doing their job of going through and going to neighborhoods, and that's why you have the asylum areas, parts of California, where folks have decided that they will support them in some way, shape, or form. But for Texas and Arizona, you don't hear it as much as Arizona because it went blue. But you have the issue where it's also generally political because you have them taking immigrants and shipping them over into Kamala Harris's backyard and all these other things as politics as usual because they did that in the 60s with blacks. No, the situation is that, first of all, when the border was built under number 45, that fence fell. So it was poorly done in the first place. Next, when you do have the support from the assistants, they are arresting them and sending them back and deporting as many folks that are coming in illegally. But so it's being done. Now, as far as the homeless situation, that is not as clear because many of those that do get through are also getting jobs that are working in many of these factories very quickly because they have been asked to come into this country and they'll figure out the paperwork. When they're caught, that's when those employers say, oh, my goodness, where's the problem overall? There's nothing to do because here is one of the issues that some states were shifting their homeless and paying for them to come to California. I mean, we've heard situations where just like what Greg Abbott is doing, that has been an issue where if the person came in, they found them, they would give them money and they ship them over to California and then get rid of their homeless problem. So this has been a fluid issue where politically ICE may favor the overcounting or counting to justify its existence to show that it is doing all it can do for immigration. But when you have the northern border and you have the western and eastern borders also bring in immigrants as well, but not as detected as the southern border, it now becomes kind of laughable because you have more folks coming in from Canada than you have from coming from the border and going back to their countries back and forth and back and forth and back and forth once they get money. So so be very cautious on that, especially when you have those governors who pride themselves as trying to address this issue. Again, that's why the Supreme Court maintained the legislation on how we're going to still handle the Trump-level immigration policies, which are still in effect.
Now, Professor Ames, excuse me for interrupting you so abruptly. You really broke it down into layman terms for those who might not have understood about that part of the bill. Here's the question. The weather has been out of control. Nobody that lives in the United States has ever seen in the United States where it's been 50 below zero, and it's been 50 below zero. A lot of people think that the satellites have something to do with it, that scientists have something to do with it, the global warming, the changing of the weather. And I see here for National Weather Service, they're giving $1.25 billion for operating expenses, an increase of $72.9 million above fiscal year 2022. In addition, this act provides an increase of $91.2 million over fiscal year of 2022 to procure future weather satellites and related systems, which are essential for accurate weather forecasting. They already have a gang of weather satellites, weather Dopplers up there that should be already able to predict whatever's going on. But as you can see with your own eyes, Professor Reams, and everyone on the show, the weather has been completely unpredictable and extremely out of control. What do you think about the $1.25 billion going towards National Weather Service and people freezing across the country? Go right ahead, Professor Reams.
Here is the problem. Having been in public health since the 80s, this is something that we warned about years and years before dealing with carbon emissions, that things were going to become extreme. Because, see, here's the difference. The weather is a symptom of the climate. The climate sets up the circumstances where if it's too warm, then it's going to result in more rain, more storms, more this. If the climate is reasonable and cold, then you're not going to see some of these weather results, such as more hurricanes, more tornadoes, and all these other things in general. So when you have a change in the climate, then it means that the weather is going to be out of whack completely. Well, what has happened with the satellites is folks were in denial about the issues of climate change, even though we could show on the satellites and we can do all these other things in general. Well, those satellites are also coming of age where they've been up there for so long they need to be replaced. Otherwise, if you don't, you have the other problem of them coming out of orbit and being destroyed when they hit the atmosphere. So you always have to have some satellites going up there with new technologies to identify what's going on, because the old satellites just took pictures. These have infrared and all the others to show where climate change are coming up. So you always need to have a set of satellites going on. Now, as far as the what's going with the extreme weather overall, yes, no. As mentioned last week, Al Gore, the rest of us were pleading with the fossil fuels that this was an issue that would happen and it would show a change by how the weather pattern was. You'll find there are more tornadoes. You'll find that there are an increase. Now, the other part of climate that people don't talk about is the fact that we constantly have volcanic activity, Mauna Loa, Kilauea, and Tonga volcano. Every time, there are always 50 volcanoes going off along each year. And because of that, they can cool the planet faster than anything that we could come up with. Because unfortunately, the amount of energy that a satellite puts out and might be able to do is not strong enough to change the whole weather pattern. it would take a whole city's energy just to maybe possibly change where a cloud is going to go. So just give you an idea. The weather and the change of a hurricane, which is 300 miles, would be laughable if you were to explode a nuclear bomb, which would be like the difference between a firecracker and a 10 things of TNT. The weather and the earth are so huge. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Professor Ains, I don't mean to interrupt you, but it just turned out to be 10:30, and in the essence of time, there is a question coming from Clarence M. Allen, and I wanted to make sure that you can have time to answer that question. So without further ado, mm-hmm. Clarence M. Allen, our co-producer, take the floor and talk to our other co-producer, Professor Eames, and shoot that question. Now, go right ahead. Take the floor.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you for all the knowledge, Professor Eames. I wanted to ask you the question. There was a report about 3 busloads of immigrants sent to Vice President Kamala Harris' home. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yes. That was the same tactic that was used by Governor DeSantis and Greg Abbott. And at this point, it's Greg Abbott that sent those 3 busloads to Kamala Harris's house. It's no different than the tactic when the same other immigrants were sent from Texas to Florida and then from Florida to New Hampshire, that it was done as a political stunt to aggravate and show that, okay, yeah, if you're not giving us any funding or if you're not allowing us to handle our issue, then we're going to shift this problem to you so you can handle it. But as usual, since this was done the first time, the folks at Martha Vineyard made sure that we took the asylum, put them in the standard federal housing that we work with, and then worked their paperwork to make sure this was done. This is considered trafficking of some type, and it's a felony to do human trafficking of this type, because both governors knew that what they were doing was wrong and against the law. So when they met up in front of the vice president's house, the next thing was that DC and that area would take them in, give them money, find them clothing, and make sure to take care of them and place them in the shelter so that their paperwork could be done, so they can screen to make sure that they were finding amnesty from their country that they left. If that's the case, great. If not, then some of those would be returned back to their country or to Mexico for asylum, if at all possible. But like I said, the Democrats made sure, and the families of the community made sure, to take care of all of these folks, because no one, as we've mentioned on this program, should go hungry or be homeless or have anything that was done. So we just handled it. If you're going to send them to this location, then Kamala Harris handled it and made sure to take care of those people. Clarence, did I answer your question?
I believe it. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay, now without further ado, it is time. First of all, let's give a big hand for Professor Reams talking about the $1.7 trillion bill. Thank you so much, Professor. Thank you very much. Now, without further ado, it's time to go into our regular segments of the show. And I think our first segment that we're going to go into is going to be health and wellness. But before we go into health and wellness, we have been talking about, first we talked about music. We interviewed Alvin Hayes Jr. He also played the saxophone. He played 2 songs on our show today. We talked about how jazz and blues turned into hip-hop and rap by scatting, and we talked about the history of rap last week and just elaborated on it a little bit this week. And now we're talking about that $1.7 trillion bill and how it's going to affect the WIC program, food stamps, the military, the homeless problem. These are very important situations and topics that we need to talk about. And there is some money there for the homeless problem, but it's not enough. There's more money on the Federal Bureau of Prisons than it is for the homeless situation. Now, let's see what happens. Let's see how the homeless situation will be addressed in 2023. But caller in the 503-747 area code, are you there? Good morning. Calling the 503-747 area code, are you there? Linda Goldie, are you there? Okay, let's put her back on hold. I think that's Linda Goldie in the 503 from Oregon. We're going to come back to you in a minute. Good morning, Charlene. God bless you. Good morning, Charlene. God bless you. Good morning. All right. Hey, praise the Lord. All right. Happy New Year to you, too. Happy New Year, Senia. Happy New Year, Vera. Happy New Year, Gloria Majors. Happy New Year to all the people on Facebook Live. Sister Lynn Robinson, God bless you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Brother Eddie Gibbs, Joel Davis, and so many other people on Facebook Live. Thank you guys all for joining. Really appreciate all you guys. Thank you, Simba, Brother Simba. What's going on with you, man? Peace be with you. And you're on Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, where we talk about civil rights, constitutional rights, human rights, your rights, my rights, and our rights. And without further ado, Vera Jones, take the floor. Give us health and wellness with Vera Jones. This is our segment. Get ready.
Hello. Thank you, Eddie, for allowing me to share health and wellness. So before I begin my segment, I have a disclaimer. I am not a doctor. However, on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show, I am Dr. Granny V, given by Professor Reams. So today I would like to share with you taking off the old and bringing in the new with dry skin brushing. Now, what is it? It is using exfoliating the body with a special firm bristled brush. And the brush should be made from natural fiber. Now, what it does, it will release toxins from our lymphatic system through sweat, urination, or elimination through our pores. And as we know, the skin is the largest organ of our body. Now, this can be done year-round, and especially during the dry seasons and the summertime to aid in protection of our skin. Now, why should we dry skin brush? Well, let me tell you, because it encourages blood flow to all areas of the body, it strengthens our immune system, it breaks up fat deposits and reduces buildup. It aids in youthful skin, and it also releases cellulite. It also will stimulate the circulation of the entire body with a great boost. Now, it is good for our kidneys, and it helps to purify and open up our pores. And make sure that you dry by air drying. Now, another great thing is it's great for fresh blood supplies movement, and it gives our skin a beautiful glow. Now, what are some of the side effects? Some may feel nauseous, lightheaded, perhaps redness, tightness, swelling, or a decrease in range of motion because you're stirring up the pot, toxin. And others may have inflammation. So if you have high blood pressure or any other serious condition like diabetes, heart disease, or treatments like chemotherapy or radiation, make sure that you speak with your doctor before beginning any new routine or regimen at home. Now, with doing so of dry skin brushing, it is one that you must do. You must do this before you get in the bath or the shower, and you can actually step in the tub and start brushing your skin. And how can you do that? You can do it with long strokes, with the brushing upward towards your heart in a circular motion. And you can do it either one time per week, or you can do it as many times as you like. There is no limit. But all it has to be done is to do this within 5 minutes, and it will definitely make a difference for your body. Now, don't forget your neck, your arms, your chest, your heart, your stomach, and your legs. and your feet. And men and women, don't forget about the chest area because that will help prevent blockage. Now, what's the difference between exfoliating and dry brushing? Guess what? Dry brushing is more effective than wet because we're actually moving that dead skin, and we can actually see it leaving the body. But when you're in the shower and you have your wet exfoliator, guess what? You can't see what's moving. And just know that the lymphatic system is one that helps transport and remove waste from our body, and it will also help keep us away from parasites, infections, viruses, bacteria, and fungi. So if you can, make sure that you try this, and I'll tell you a couple of teas that are great for the lymphatic drainage. Of course, green tea, echinacea, ginger, nettle are some of the best. And make sure you're drinking, like, as far as H2O, half of your body weight daily, because it will surely help your organs and your cells. And we can include, last but not least, a couple of these items, which are good for a lymphatic system. Flaxseed, asparagus, turmeric, cranberry, garlic, seaweed, nuts, leafy greens, as we know the colors of the rainbow, more great, avocado, parsley, cilantro, as far as herbs. And last but not least, make sure that you're starting the new year out. Move. Just move by walking. And I won't include walking at home or at work. That's not the same. Get out in nature when you can and walk, ride your bicycle, stretch, do some yoga. Better yet, do some Tai Chi or just dance. We want to move because guess what? Nothing remains stagnant when we move. And in closing, what my skin is one that absorbs and loves and enjoys olive oil, coconut oil, shea butter, and coconut butter. And let me not forget to tell you, you can also dry brush your teeth. Now, you can always brush with more later or do your favorite rinse, but guess what? You can have one separate for brushing your teeth. It will actually pull bacteria out of your mouth, and it will keep viruses from growing there. And guess what you can do? Oil pulling afterwards, which is just taking some coconut oil, swishing it in your mouth for a few minutes, and what oil you can use would be sesame or sunflower, but my favorite is coconut. So I want you to all try something different or new, and just remember, Dr. Granny V is in the house for 2023. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's give a big hand for Laura. Health and wellness is important.
Dr.
We need
Granny
our health. We need
spoken.
Help. Yes, she has spoken it. Now, without further ado, we're going to go to Brother Clarence M. Allen with Regulate the Manual. It is 10:43 a.m. You're on the Eddie Jones Radio Talk Show. Clarence, take the floor. Regulate the Manual.
Yes,
Brother
thank
Clarence,
you, Pastor
are you there?
Eddie. Thank you to all of our.
Okay.
Yes, thank you, Pastor Eddie. Thank you for all of our wonderful listeners. Especially, let's thank God for this new year, this new day, new week, and new month. We're starting a whole new year. I'm going to begin again from the beginning with Regulate the Manual. And the reason I've written this book is because of all of these issues that we continue to live, witness, and even some of us face each and every day through our life. You know, it's just an everyday challenge. Every day is a struggle. Every day is a success. And some days we might even see them as a failure, although we need to get up again and regulate our way through this life we live. So let's mount up. And the first book within the manual is the gangs, because we do have a gang problem within America and even around the world in our communities. The gangs have been around probably since the beginning of mankind. man and mankind have been coming together in numbers for quite a very long time. If you are more than a little curious and you want to learn more about the gangs, you better get yourself busy. I do not have all the facts, and I do not know all the history of the gangs. Do your own research. Read some books about some basic information before leaving Earth. These roles may set you off to a pretty good start. Try speaking with some OGs. Read up on some history books or whatever it may take. I would like to reach out to many of the baby Gs, the Gs, the OGs, and even all you wannabes that are out there in existence. Let's also call up the entire cast of the incubators who have no clue to whom and what they are serving. What are all you doing out there? Let's call all of you out for a checkup before many more gets messed up and make more bad choices. By the way, many of us all, the way down from the baby G's up to the OGs, every one of us need to check and recheck ourselves. Every day we need to check ourselves again and again and recheck ourselves some more. This is just to stay in a regulated state of mind and a regulated state of life and also in regulated shape. This is especially for me, the triple OG. And I'm going to stop there because we are under time restraint. But you can go to Regulate the Manual. You can get this book. Even if you don't get this book, get some book and read. Read daily. It is the only exercise for the mind. So regulatethemanual.com is the website, and it is written. Thank you, Pastor Eddie, to all the wonderful listeners and co-panelists. You are in here.
Amen. Let's give it a big hand for Brother Clarence. Right on, Brother Clarence. Thank you very much for sharing. Regulate the manual is, right on, regulate. And you know what? I just want to make sure now. I want to go back to our studio, and I thought I could have sworn I saw, let's see, because we can't do this without the sports report. And let's get in Cousin V. Good morning, Cousin V. Welcome to the show all the way from Florida. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great, just busy at work. But I'm listening in. I was happy to hear Alvin Hayes Jr. again. And I know he has some ties to Lufkin in Texas from before. So, and the saxophone is my favorite instrument, so I was happy to hear him come back on again.
Oh, amen, amen. Praise God. But you know what? Without further ado, it's time for the sports report for all you sports enthusiasts out there who want to hear about what happened between the Chargers and the Rams. Hold on.
Right.
Wait a minute. Cousin B, take the floor. Give us the sports report.
Well, first of all, I'm going to read some of the NCAA football championship bowl game. starting on Friday, December 30th, UCLA lost to Pittsburgh 37-35. Clemson lost to Tennessee 31-14. Notre Dame beat South Carolina 45-38. And Ohio beat Wyoming 30-27. And then Ohio State lost by 1 point to Georgia. Georgia's ranked number one. Ohio State's ranked number four. The score was 42-41. And then we had TCU over Michigan. They played a basketball, a high school basketball score game. That was the Fiesta Bowl, and that was 51-45. TCU number three over number two Michigan. And then Alabama, number five, did beat Kansas State, number nine, 45-20. And that was in the All-State Sugar Bowl. And then the Music City Bowl, always shut out Kentucky, 21-0. There will be more bowl games tonight. It'll be LSU playing, like, right now. Because it's going to be the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. So LSU will be playing Purdue, and Penn State will be playing Utah, and TCU on next Monday will be playing number three TCU will play number one Georgia. I just wanted to tell you all, because hockey if you never experience it, just like baseball, you have to go experience it for yourself and just go. I mean, I enjoyed it. I never knew hockey could be so funny. It helps you laugh, which we need those endorphins to be kicked in. So if you ever get a chance, go see your teams. It's 32 teams. In the Atlantic Division, it's the Boston Bruins, Buffalo Sabres, Detroit Red Wings, Florida Panthers, Montreal Canadiens, Ottawa Senators, Tampa Bay Lightning, Toronto Maple Leafs. In the Central Division, it's the Arizona Coyotes, Chicago Blackhawks, Colorado Avalanche, Dallas Stars, and that's who I saw was Dallas Stars, and also a town in Texas called Allen, Texas. So I went to both of those games, and they were fun. Then the Minnesota Wild, Nashville Predators, St. Louis Blues. In the Pacific Division, it's the Anaheim Ducks, Calgary Flames, Edmonton Oilers, Los Angeles Kings, San Jose Sharks, Seattle Kraken, and Vancouver Canucks. And then in the last division, the Metropolitan Division, we have the Carolina Hurricanes, Columbus Blue Jackets, New Jersey Devils, New York Islanders, New York Rangers, Philadelphia Flyers, Pittsburgh Penguins, and the Washington Capitals. And then to our NFL scores, because I know Eddie, he looked like he just waiting to see what happened. Anyway.
I am.
I know, it is just amazing just looking at you because I'm watching your Facebook Live. Anyway, on last week, we left last Thursday night. The Cowboys beat the Titans 27-13. And then tonight, Monday night, it will be the Bills and the Bengals. And that will be tonight. And then on yesterday, Sunday, here's the final scores. And everyone is some people are already kicked out the playoffs. Next week, I'll try to have your playoffs where everybody's standing. The Cardinals, Falcons 2019. The Bears lost to the Lions 41-10. The Broncos lost to the Chiefs 27-24. My Dolphins lost to New England Patriots 23-21. And I'm praying for my quarterback Tua to come back out of that concussion protocol, but we do want him healthy. That comes first. New York Giants over the Colts 38-10. The New Orleans Saints beat the Eagles 20-10, and the Eagles were undefeated. The Panthers lost to the Buccaneers 30-24. The Commanders lost to the Browns 24-10. The Texans lost to the Jaguars 31-3. The 49ers, Clarence, beat the Raiders 37-34. What a close game. And that was in final overtime. The Seahawks beat the Jets 23-6. Green Bay Packers came back and beat the Vikings 41-17. And then, here you go, Eddie. The Chargers beat the Rams 31-10. And then Ravens last night, Sunday Night Football, beat the Ravens 16-13. This is my sports report. Y'all have a blessed week and Happy New Year. May you all be blessed.
Cousin V with the sports report.
Cousin V. Woo-hoo. Cousin V.
That was nice. Hey, Minister Lori, how are you? God bless you, Robin Seal Timberlake. Hallelujah. Praise God.
I believe this is our fifth year next month on February 27th, which is your cousin Randy Jr.'s birthday. But I know February is another year, and we have over 300 shows on demand that are available to go back and listen to.
Wow. I am amazed. Man, I tell you. I just thank everybody. What a year 2022 has been. And glory to God. To God be the glory. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. This has been such a year for all kinds of stuff. First of all, overcoming COVID-19, and we're still not over yet. But I just want to thank God for my radio talk show family, all the co-producers, the producers, the hosts, and everybody who, all the audience, the listening audiences, wherever you are around the United States. I can't thank you guys enough. I want to thank my wife, Wanda Jones. My life would be nothing without her, and my life would be nothing without you, and my life would be nothing without my family. So, you know, I give all the glory to God. All the glory goes to God. I'm just grateful. Tremendous changes are taking place. Yes, it is. Yes, marriage is doing me good. Praise the Lord. Hey, Alita Frazier, how are you? God bless you. Oh, my gosh. I just can't say enough. But you know what? It's time for a very important part of our show. And Professor Reams, please, without further ado, bring us the commentary. And God bless everybody. Without further ado.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor Jones. And one thing is very clear. Welcome, welcome, everyone, to 2023. This is a new year. We now will chart even more of an impressive direction, because I have to let you know that with all of everyone's efforts, we came this close to, well, unfortunately, almost losing our democracy because of all of the connections that were going on. And everyone, in spite of all of our differences, came together. It's not a perfect democracy. It's not, it has a lot of its challenges, but it is still our democracy, and we are still here to fight for it. And as a reminder, this is what democracies do, because this is the way that they work, because everyone, we don't get what we want, but we learned how to compromise and be patient. And this is all that the Lord would want us to do, to work with each other. So in this show, this is a celebration of that perseverance. We have seen the amazing things that are happening, and as many of the Pastor Jones and the cohorts has seen, has mentioned, we're in a process of change. We're getting more money than we thought we would. We're getting more gains. And with all the odds against us, it showed that God was in charge at all times. So when we talk about a reminder, our guest, Alvin Hayes Jr., reminded us of the power of music, the power of jazz, and also the topic of hip-hop and rap, the power and the genius of African Americans and how they've shaped music to help towards the civil rights movement. And in doing so, it allowed us to have a Stacey Abrams, as well as a Raphael Warnock, as well as a Barack Obama, and Kamala Harris, and all the governors and all the leaders, but also all the current leaders, such as our Sheila Timberlake and Minister Moni Scott, to be out in the field, to be able to do the work that we do, along with all of us that are here. When we get to the $1.7 trillion, we talk about monies that are coming in. As I said before, that would not have happened under the previous administration. So we wish it would have been more, but we are going to be saying praise the Lord for what we have, because that's how it works in increments. And as the pastor mentioned, you know, our Lord and Savior has been with us, and this is the year to be praised. And let's not remember, under Ecclesiastes 1, verse 9, our Lord and Savior was also homeless and an immigrant when he started his life. And it started small, but you see how it bloomed out into our favor. So one thing that we can do, as Dr. Grandy V has talked about, you know, the brushes of life and starting new thing going forward with green tea and with our drinks, is if you're wanting to feel connected, if you're wanting to have that challenge to you, just, we have tons of problems, just pick one. Pick one of the issues that you are passionate about and just do the best you can with it. And bring friends in if you can, because when you take that step, you become the change that you're looking for, and you become the change that people can relate to and believe in. And in moving forward, not I don't believe in New Year's resolutions. All I ask the Lord is just to continue to bless everyone, continue to move forward, continue to provide the wisdom, and continue to make me make my heart open to any changes that occurs. Because when you take on this responsibility, the good Lord is going to go into directions that you never thought you would go. And in light of it, it will be a wonderful present and gift when you get to the end of your journey. Because I think all of us in this year have an opportunity to move in a different direction. Because I think that all of us would like on that day when we have our homecoming to get that final well done from the Lord. So with that, this is our reminder. This is where we're going to meet people, as Chief Apostle Curry mentioned, that we meet people where they are so that we can mellow their hearts. So with this year, let's see if we can mellow as many hearts as possible. It's going to be a lot of challenges on the line with new Congress coming in with the House of Representatives. But, of course, we're on the God squad, and that he will never forsake us or leave us. And so we're in good hands to move forward in this new year. And with that, I say Happy New Year to everyone, and have a blessed day and blessed week as we move forward together. And with that, I yield back to you, Pastor Jones.
All right, all right, all right. That was our – thank you so much, Professor Reem, for the commentary. Let's give him a big hand. And then we're going to have one more on. We're going over today because we have two requests. We have a prayer request, and we have Tawana Jones with words of wisdom, my daughter. Take the floor, Tawana. Give us words of wisdom. Go right ahead.
Good morning, everybody. Today's words of wisdom is entitled Treasures of Love. Through life, we are given the value of love, family, friends, people who come into your life sometimes for a lifetime, sometimes for a season. Some people are valuable. Some people are valuable lessons to learn from. And the ones who stay in your life for a lifetime, cherish them. Learn from every moment through the process. Give light where it's necessary. Always keep faith in something much greater than your current situation. Always look to see the potential in others, especially in yourself. God is eternal, and his love is forevermore. Mercy, compassion, and humility. We have free will to love who we are and others that we grow in relationships with. During our human experience as a spiritual being, remember that every journey has its purpose. Embrace it with unconditional love and the Holy Spirit to lead in love. May there always be an angel by your side. God bless you all.
Amen. Thank you for the words of wisdom. Wow.
Amen.
Thank you.
Well said.
We really need it. I want to say this. We need the words of wisdom every single time, because the words of wisdom help us to get wisdom about the word. The words give us wisdom. And how you use those words and how you make them applicable to your life is extremely important. I pray that that sinks into the resonance of your heart and mind. Our word of the week is Messiah. Our word of the week is Messiah. And you can write that word down for the week, analyze and evaluate, look it up, define it, Messiah. Our scripture of the week is Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. And it reads, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters in the assembly. I will sing your praises. I want Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12. And it reads, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters in the assembly, and I will sing your praises. With that being said, there were some prayer requests that went up. There are people sending up prayer requests. First of all, I want to pray for everyone right now. Everybody that's on this show and people that are not on the show, that whoever needs a prayer request, send it up right now. Sister Charlene, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Minister Lori, God bless you, and all the other ministers and deacons and pastors. Yes, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12, and the word of the week is Messiah. Now, Heavenly Father, I ask that you touch the Susan Miller Dorsey High School alumni and everybody that has went to Dorsey or still going to Dorsey. Bless those who might be going through something, because everybody is going through something, God. Father, I ask that you be a lamp and a light for those who are walking in darkness right now, God, no matter where they are. I ask for a special blessing for the homeless situation in the United States of America. I ask you, God, to bless the illegal immigrants, 170,000 that are waiting to just rush the border and come into America. I just pray that the president will do the right thing in that situation, God. I pray for those who are looking for a job right now, God, that they can't find a job, but they're looking for a job. So many people have been laid off, God, from their jobs, and the middle class is being knocked out. It's just rich and poor. God, I pray for this new world order that's coming into play for 2023, for those who don't understand and comprehend and know what's really going on. Father, for those who are sick and shut in, for those who are having illness, for those who are fighting COVID-19, God, I ask that you bless them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Let them be revitalized, rehabilitated, restored, and rejuvenated right now like never before in the name of Jesus. I ask, God, that you bless all those people who are freezing across the United States with 50 below zero weather in Buffalo, New York, where over 35 people have died so far, and in other parts of New York and Chicago and Detroit and other places where people are freezing in San Francisco, water overflowing in San Francisco and Oakland and Sacramento, California, God. Things that are such out of our control, but all in your control, God. So, Father, I ask that you put your mighty hand on every situation, on every prayer request. And we just thank you, God. I ask that you bless me and my wife and my family and her family and all the families that are on this show right now, God. All of the co-hosts and co-producers, God. And I just ask that you answer each and every prayer request. Now, God, if we've done anything wrong in thought, word, or deed, omission or commission, please forgive us right now, God. You are Almighty God. You are Abba, Father, Yahweh, Yahshua, the Messiah. You're Elohim. You're God all by himself. Have your way like never before. And we'll make sure, God, that we give you the glory and you the honor. Thank you, God, for what you have done. And thank you, God, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody just say amen and send some hearts up on Facebook Live right now. Say amen, hallelujah, praise God. Yes, Lord, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for standing in the gap together with me in prayer. I really need to hear that, Minister Lori. Thank you, Sister Charlene. Amen, praise God. Send those hearts up. Thank you so much. All those hearts are just flying all over the place. Oh, yes, have your way, God. Yes, have your way. Hallelujah. We have a civil rights talk show, but we also talk about God. And I just can't thank everybody enough for just being there. Thank you, Vera. Thank you, too, for the hearts. Thank you, Sheila Timberlake. Thank you very much. Keep sending those hearts. That's right. And every heart that you send is touching somebody right now. Those hearts are touching people who are going through things, and everybody's going through something. But it's not how you go into it. It's how you come out of it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, with humility and humbleness to God. Hallelujah. When you show humility and you humble yourself, that's when God can really put his hands on you and use you for his kingdom building. Hallelujah. And he will do a mighty thing through you if you allow yourself to open up and be a vessel for God's work. Amen. Nobody said it would be easy. Nobody told me that it would be easy. But I can't believe he brought us this far to leave us. Hallelujah. Thank you guys for those hearts. Thank you so much. If you enjoyed the show, we'll be back next Monday, and we're going to have a special guest for you. Today, we had a special guest on our show. Next week, we have a special guest. But I want to say this is the second day of the new year, so happy new year to everybody. And leave all the old stuff in the past and press on for a more positive future. I say this at the end of every show. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. I say this on the show. The only limit in life is the one you put on yourself, so let there be no limit. And last but not least, whatever you do, don't let nothing and nobody steal your joy. God bless you. You're welcome. And hey, amen, Sister Charlene. Yes, the invitation is yours. The invitation is always out there. Thank you, Minister Lori. I see you got the dancing GI up there. Thank God. Praise the Lord. You're welcome. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I want you, everybody, to have a beautiful, wonderful week. And just, you know, keep in prayer, not only for myself. Yeah, keep me in prayer, too. Thank you, Charlene, for saying that you love me and Wanda. Hallelujah. We love you, too. God bless you guys. And love is what it's all about. Praise him. Yes. Give him the glory. Give him the honor. Give him the praise. Give God all the praise. And so with that being said, it's time to get out of here. I want to stay on. I just had such a good time. I want to thank all of our co-producers. I want to thank every segment of our show, all the producers, co-producers, and the host of our show. Sending a shout-out to Minister Stephanetta Bingley. Sending a shout-out to everybody who's ever been, Monica Smith, and all of the ones who have been on our show. And it's time to get out of here, you guys. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, I want to send a special shout-out to Sister Moni Scott. You are in our prayers, Sister Moni Scott. We're praying for you. Hallelujah. Sister Charlene said, we are her brothers and sisters. Amen. Yes, Lord, pray for us because we all need prayer too. You too, Sheila. Yes, blessings to everyone. I want to say this to you. There's always something going on. It's something going on everywhere. And the main question is, what's going on? God bless you. Talk to you all next week.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a two big party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Stop
it.
Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, picket lines and picket signs. Punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.